Welcome to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast. Here's today's message.
Our scripture reading this morning is Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 16. Please turn your Bibles. You can follow along on the screen or the insert in your worship folder. At the end of the reading, I will say, "This is the word of the Lord." Please respond with, "Thanks be to God." Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 to 16. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated.
If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting, my name is Darren Phillips, and my role on staff is working with the young adults. And what you may not know is that they have planned to go paintballing on October 19th, and there's like 23 of them signed up. And I think the entire thing is a plot to like pin me down and pelt me with paintballs repeatedly. So you can pray for me in my role. Just kidding. It's fantastic. I love working with the young adults. They're an amazing, amazing group. But I was asked to speak this morning and about a topic that is near and dear to my heart, something God has touched me many years ago and prompted in my heart. And I have put a ton of prayer and study and living into what we're going to talk about today. So it is a complete pleasure to preach to you about this today. And I want to tell you the connection between a church on a mission, a kids park, and how it all ended up with a van load and multiple truckloads of fruit, apples, pears, plums. But in order for the fruit part to make sense, you need a slight bit of backstory. So I was hired here at Central a week before Christmas this past year. It's been a great 9 months. Thank you so much for being so welcoming. Prior to coming to Central, I was the lead pastor of the church in Ladysmith, up island an hour and a half, for 13 years. And those verses that Camille wonderfully read from Matthew chapter 5, especially the parts about being salt and light, those really deeply gripped my heart about 5 years before going to Ladysmith as lead pastor. And at one point, I came across a great little story. There's a Christian magazine in Canada called Faith Today magazine. And this story was about a church in Nova Scotia, small little town. And this church just was on mission with Jesus. And every time there was a town event, something great going on or a need in town, these guys were out there serving. At one point, the Red Cross building really fell into disrepair. Their front steps were broken. Their front door was off its hinges. It needed a paint job. There just needed so much work. And instead of reaching out to other Red Cross outlets or the town council or the province of Nova Scotia, their first call was to that local church. And that local church descended on that Red Cross building and just transformed it. And I remember thinking, what an absolutely astounding, beautiful thing. And it kind of started to plant a vision in my heart that could a local church take these words of Jesus in Matthew 5 seriously? Could they live them out in such a way that the surrounding town who maybe doesn't know Jesus at all, that their first call wouldn't be to any other place except the local church? And as I accepted the call to go to Ladysmith, that dream started to well up in my heart. And I remember thinking, Lord, this is an amazing dream, but it feels pretty unrealistic. There was a poll that came out a few years ago. According to the last Canadian census, outside of the province of Quebec, BC is the most secular province in all of Canada, and Nanaimo is the most secular city in all of British Columbia, and Ladysmith's right next door. Seemed like a ridiculous dream. And that brings us to our first point, salty. When I started in Ladysmith as pastor in January of 2010, those words of Jesus that Camille just read took on a new angle, especially the part about being a city on a hill. If you've never been to Ladysmith, the whole thing's built on a hill. And it's quite a place when you have little children and you're pushing them up in your stroller. It tends to get you in shape, bringing groceries up, all that kind of stuff. The hills in that town are amazing. But when I first started, there was a local kids park that had been built 30 years before by a bunch of volunteers, and they had assembled lumber and a big volunteer spirit and said, let's build a kids park. And there was no environmental regulations, not a whole lot of safety regulations, those kind of things. But they did a great job, built the park, and in our rainy climate, over 30 years, that kids' park had rotted. And finally, a kid stepped on a board and crashed through, and everyone went, wow, it's time to replace the park. So when I and my family showed up in January of 2010 to take on the role of lead pastor at Ocean View Community Church in Ladysmith, that kid's park had been torn down and was just a flat patch of gravel. And there was lots of stories in the newspaper about it. And I remember going to my first board meeting, and I kind of plunked the newspaper down and I said, all right, I said, I'm brand new to town. I don't know anything. Does anyone care about this kid's park? And the board members, oh, yeah, everyone's sad that park had to be ripped down. My kids used to play on it. We're really sad about it. And I said, so does this seem like something the church could get involved with? And they all said, yeah, let's pray about that. And so we prayed that night, and they decided, yes, let's take it to the congregation. Congregation voted, targeted Easter Sunday that year. And at that point, Ocean View was about 65 people. There was lots of seniors in their 80s living on fixed incomes. And my wild prayer to the Lord was, could we raise $2,500? And God's people dug deep, gave sacrificially, and we raised just over $5,000. And it was so fun to call up the town. Finally, you gotta like find out who the right person in town to talk to is. And it turned out that this play park project was a combination of the town of Ladysmith and the local Kinsmen Club. And there was one guy who was both a town councilor and the president of the Kinsmen Club. So the perfect guy to talk to. And I remember calling him up and I introduced myself. I said, my name's Darren Phillips. I'm the new pastor of Ocean View Community Church. He's like, is that the one on Davis Road? I was like, yeah, over on Davis Road, right across from the Ricky's restaurant. Okay, right. And I said, so we've been reading about the park project. We've read all the stories. The church got excited about the project, and we have raised some money. So I'm happy to tell you that we're going to give you $5,007.21. And there was a pause on the phone, and he goes, so let me get this straight. You're a church, and you want to give us money. Is that what you're saying? I said, absolutely. He goes, what are the strings attached? I was like, no strings. God blesses us. We bless our community. And he goes, well, that's a heck of a thing. He actually didn't say heck. And I said, well, I probably wouldn't say it that way. I think it's more of a heaven thing than a hell thing. But yeah, I get it. You're surprised. That's cool. And you know what? That one single act of generosity on the church's part started to open up doors in our community. And over the next year, we got to help at lots of fundraisers. There was a root beer and burger night at the local community hall. And we showed up in our little Ocean View t-shirts, ready to bus tables, help out. And I said to one of the organizers, I said, so how many people come to this thing? And they're like, well, we're not sure, but we're hoping for like 200. 600 people from the town came. The lineup was all the way up the thing. We had to keep running across the grocery store and buying more stuff. It was so fun. And then finally, a year and a half in, enough money had been raised to build the first phase of the park. And one of the guys on our board lived right across the street from the park. We set up a tent, fed everybody lunch. There was about 45 volunteers from the town and about 45 from the church, just working together. It was so much fun. It was pretty amazing. And that begins to glimpse a little bit, I think, of what Jesus was trying to tell us in Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. Let's stop and think about what salt is for 2 seconds. What does salt do? Well, 2 primary things. Number one, obviously it makes things taste good. Have you ever had popcorn with no butter and no salt? I mean, you can choke it down, but it's not great. Salt is so essential in cooking, everything from pasta dishes to stir fries. Can you imagine doing a steak on the barbecue and never seasoning it properly first? That's like a sin. You can't do that. So Jesus is telling his people they can potentially have the effect of making society taste good. That life isn't just a drudgery that we plod through, but should in fact have lots of moments of joy and satisfaction. God's people are salt. Well, the second thing that salt does is it preserves. Human beings figured out a long time ago that salt can make food last. When you make salmon lox by first step, covering them in salt. Portuguese are big into salt-cured cod fish. The Italians love to use salt to make parma ham or prosciutto. New York delis are famous for pastrami sandwiches, essentially beef that's covered in salt and spices and then smoked. Salt makes things last. It preserves it. It slows down the decay. So Jesus is telling us that when his people follow him, when they're on mission, they can potentially have the effect of slowing down the decay that happens in society in every age down through history. So we as God's people have the potential, Jesus is saying, to do some great stuff. Make our world taste better, slow down the decay. Now, tragically, we don't need to hear a lot about decay as a church at Central on Pandora Avenue. Heartbreakingly, we see it every day on Pandora Avenue. Complete aside for 1 second, last week was our ministry fair. Did you know that our street teams had, I believe, 10 brand new volunteers? That is fantastic. Well done, church. So after I've been at Ocean View Community Church for a few years, you're getting to know all these people in town, and I made some key friendships. One was with a guy named Rob, and he was the mayor of the town of Ladysmith. Wonderful, wonderful guy. Got to know Lindsay. She was a young woman in her 30s. She was the editor of the local Ladysmith Shemanis Chronicle newspaper. And both of them were amazing people and really became allies in what we were trying to contribute as a church to the community. And then one of the things God had really impressed on my heart was that the church needed to practice hospitality. And so the guy who had absolutely transformed my entire thinking about hospitality is one of my profs and grad school at Regent College, Lauren Wilkinson, and just an incredible man. And so when I thought, okay, the church needs to hear about hospitality, who do I call? I'm going to call Lauren. And so I arranged a weekend where he came over, and he spoke at the church on Friday night and preached on Sunday morning. But what I remember most about that weekend was actually the dinner we had at our house on Saturday night. And we invited Mayor Rob, his wife Sue, Lindsay, the editor of the newspaper, and then there was Lauren and his wife Mary Ruth, and our family. And sometimes when you put a whole group of people together that don't really know each other, conversation can be a little awkward. And you as the host, you're trying to help it along and keep everyone talking. Not that night. That conversation zipped around that table. Constant questions from the mayor to Lauren, and we covered every topic under the sun: God, church, faith, Bible, Jesus, science, environment, on and on and on and on. And it was just an incredible night. Everyone was contributing, everyone was involved. And it was just such an amazing experience. My wife's an amazing cook, so good food helped. But what an incredible night. And I remember saying goodbye to everyone at the door, and they just had huge smiles on their faces. Thank you so much for this evening. I remember going to sleep that night and praying this prayer. Lord, I don't know everything you meant when you said we are to be salt in the world, but I am absolutely convinced I saw a glimpse of it around that dinner table tonight. And that Central Baptist Church is the kind of life Jesus was declaring we are fully capable of experiencing. We are salt. But Jesus' amazing declaration comes with a warning, doesn't it? It says in verse 13, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's pretty blunt, pretty straight up. Jesus doesn't pull any punches. And Jesus is saying that when we as his followers refuse to follow his example and be a conduit for the love of God to a hurting world, then we as a church become useless. I'm a nice guy by personality. I'd love to soften those words of Jesus, make them a little more palatable to us. But I can't. Can't be a faithful preacher of God's word and try to water down the seemingly more offensive parts. So here's a fair question. Have I ever personally witnessed a church lose its saltiness? And if I have, what was the result? Well, two churches come to mind. One was actually right in our town of Ladysmith. And I got to know the pastor of this church, and he just was the most lovely guy. Just totally appreciate him. He had music gifts. He was just super good relationally. And we would meet as a ministerial in town, and we would hang out other times. And I remember him telling me the struggles of his church, and I said, you know, God has opened some doors in this community, and we as a church are going through them. Like, we're serving, we're getting out there, and it's having a good effect on our church. And he just said, it sounds amazing, but we can't. We can't. And he would just list all the problems they had. We said, we have a building that needs repair. We got an aging congregation. We have a lack of resources. And eventually he moved on. Another reverend came, and that really didn't work out. And finally the church voted to close its doors. And they invited me as a pastor in town and the pastor of the Pentecostal church, Jim, lovely guy, and the two of us in this service, and it was so heartbreaking. It was like going to a funeral for a church. And as I sat there, I thought of all the opportunities that that church had been invited into to be salt in their community. And they had ultimately said, no, thank you, Jesus. We just don't want to do that. And I thought it was just so heartbreaking and so tragic. The other church was part of our Fellowship Pacific group of churches in our province. And I served on the denominational board for a while. And at one point, they sent one of their staff and myself out to this church. And they said, can you kind of meet with the pastor and kind of just assess all the challenges at this church? And so two of us traveled out to this church, and we got there and meet the pastor. And he wanted to give us a little tour of their church building. And so we got in there, and he's giving us the tour, and all of a sudden we see an overhead projector. Does anybody remember those with the big light inside that shone up on the wall? And you had the little slides that you moved up and down. And we were kind of shocked. This was about 2015. We're like, so we just have a question for you. Why are you guys still using an overhead projector? And he said, oh, that's a good question. We actually have a person in our church who's willing to purchase two big flat screen TVs and have them mounted up front of the church. We're like, great. Why hasn't that happened? And he said, well, you know, we're thinking about it, but we're just worried that that might upset someone. I was like, oh, all right. Kept giving us the tour. And finally, we get to the part where they have a sound booth and where their sound and tech people sit. And for some unknown reason, it didn't face the front of the church. It was tilted on an angle, almost the side of the church. And I'm looking at this thing, and finally I said, so another quick question. Do your sound and tech people complain about this? He said, oh yeah, every week. They hate it because they can't see the front. I said, so just another little question. Why haven't you fixed that? Well, you know, we were thinking about it, but we're just terrified that somebody might get upset. Finally, I thought, I'm an idiot, but I'm going to ask the third question. I said, do you guys ever have opportunities to get out in your town and serve in any kind of meaningful way? Oh, yeah, there's some great, great opportunities. I said, so you guys doing those? No. I said, I'm not even going to ask. I know the answer. Once again, that church closed its doors about 7 years ago. And it's absolutely heartbreaking to realize that as incredible as Jesus is making a promise that we are salt, but there's an example of two different churches, two different places that stopped being salt a long time ago. And Jesus' warning comes true. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is good for no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you know, during this season of central praying for God's leading and giving us a vision for the future, one of the absolute non-negotiables, according to Jesus, is that no matter what, we must be salt. All right, on to our second point, bright. Matthew 5, 14 and 15. Jesus continues. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. About 10 years into our ministry in Ladysmith, the town experienced a tragedy. If you've ever been to Ladysmith, there's the highway and a lot of the towns above, and below the highway is an incredible beach area called Transfer Beach. The reason it's called Transfer Beach is because it used to be all about coal in that town. And the coal would come in on the train cars, go down to the beach, out onto a wharf, and they would transfer the coal onto ships, and away it would go around the world. And so that's why it's called Transfer Beach. So obviously no coal anymore, and they've made an incredible park. There's a kids' splash park, a play park, there's volleyball courts, big green field, there's an amphitheater. It's an amazing place. And there's also a kayak rental shop. Incredible Sea Legs Kayaks. It's an incredible job. And they've actually built it right into the bank, right into the hillside. So if you come from the top, you can walk down the hill and walk right onto the roof of the kayak rental shop, big cement pad. And unfortunately, there was a mom with her little four-year-old girl, and she had her by the hand, and the little girl broke away and ran right onto the roof of that kayak shop and never stopped running. Fell about 15 feet right onto the concrete. It was horrific. And they immediately airlifted her to Children's Hospital in Vancouver. I was working in my office that day, and I got a message on my phone from our new mayor, Aaron. Wonderful, wonderful dude. Not a follower of Jesus. But Aaron texted me, kind of in a panic, and he said, Pastor Dude, I kind of had a nickname in town, Pastor Dude. He said, Pastor Dude, there's been a horrible tragedy. Can you reach out to the big guy upstairs? I love it how people sometimes phrase prayer. And he said, if it's not too much trouble, can you get all of the people in your church to pray? I said, Aaron, it's no problem, and it would be obviously our privilege to do that and pray for this little girl. Sent out the prayer request on everything we could think of, email, website, prayer, phone chain, smoke signals, carrier pigeons, everything we could think of. We got everybody praying, and it was an extremely tense 2 months, and we kept hearing updates of this little girl. And to the glory of God, she made a 100% recovery. Yeah, incredible. Now, here's the point, Central Baptist Church. How did our non-Christian mayor even know to call us in the first place? Because he associated our church with being a light. And when the town hit a really dark, awful, tragic moment, even though he wasn't personally a believer in Jesus, he knew who to call. Now, Ocean View Church was a flawed church in many ways. Hey, I was the lead pastor. It's obvious. Not the model of perfection right there. But still, despite our failings, the declaration of Jesus was true in our midst. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And we were literally a town on a hill, but I felt like spiritually we grew into being a light on the hill. Now in verse 15, Jesus says, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl." I don't know how you've always heard that, but whenever I heard that read, I imagined a little small bowl, lamp with like maybe a cereal bowl or something on it. If you did that, the flame would go out instantly. I translated that passage from its original Greek this week, and the word for bowl turns out to be madion, and it turns out to be an 8.75 liter grain bucket. It's actually really big. And it's something that would have been extremely common in every household in Jerusalem in the first century. When people went to the market to buy grain, they would either take their own madion, this specific measure, and it held exactly one peck of grain. Do you remember that old kid's nursery rhyme, a bushel and a peck? A peck was the way to measure grain. And so 8.75 liters. So the person selling, the person buying, you knew it was a fair measurement. That was the agreed upon amount. And Jesus is saying, if you took a little lamp and put one of those over it, what happens? Well, the flame doesn't immediately go out. There's enough air in there for that flame to keep burning. But there's absolutely no light coming out. And it struck me as I was reading this week, that tragically is a picture of some churches. They are still going. They are having Sunday services, probably an occasional potluck, might even have a small group Bible study, but tragically, there is no light emitting. They have put that light under a bucket. Once again, Jesus' words cutting straight to the heart. At this point, you're thinking, all right, Darren, I'm getting the point. Jesus got a declaration and a high calling for us. We are salt, we are light. But what is supposed to be the effect of all that praying, all that work in your community? That is a really good question, and Jesus answers it in verse 16. He says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others that it may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." You know, the moment someone says, "Well, Darren, I'm just not that into serving, and besides, I'm really busy at work and my family, and I just don't have that time for that kind of thing." Don't get me wrong, I'm happy when the church does it. It's just not my gifting. When someone tells me that, and I've been told that before, face to face, every part of my personality wants to say, "Well, you're right. Not all of us are called to good deeds. We'll let the people that have that spiritual gift do that part." That's what my personality wants to do, but my convictions won't let me. This is a bold and a blunt promise of Jesus. Let your light shine before others, they may see your good deeds. Now that phrase, good deeds, turns out to be pretty fascinating. In the original Greek, it's humon tala kala erga. And kala is an adjective that we translate good. It's a fascinating word. It actually means beautiful. Kala means beautiful. And the feminine form is kalista. When I was in grad school, I was taking this super nerdy Bible class, Advanced Exegesis. And Lori, my wife, was pregnant with our oldest daughter, and I phoned her up and I said, "We're looking for a name." I said, "I came across this word, Kalista, and it means beautiful. What do you think?" And she goes, "I love it." And so that's why Kalista's name is Kalista. It's super Bible nerdy, and her dad's a pastor, but don't worry, she forgave us, and she likes her name now. So what does that mean? It means this is what Jesus is actually literally saying. Let your light shine before others that they may see your beautiful deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So the obvious question on all of our minds, all right, Darren, have you actually seen that come true in life? Remember that town counselor that I got to call up and tell him we'd raise the money for the park? Well, he had three adult daughters, all married with families of their own, one in Alberta, two in Ladysmith. And the middle daughter called me up one day and said, I've never really chatted with a pastor before, but she said, I have some questions. Do you like meet with people? Is that something you do? I said, pastors love to do that. Yes, absolutely. So we met at McDonald's, had iced coffees. And she said, I grew up in a family that has been serving in this town ever since I was a kid. Every early memory was us going to some town event and serving. And she said, I've been doing it my whole life. My parents are totally into it. She said, I didn't think churches did that kind of thing. She said, but then you guys as a church really jumped in and got involved. And she's like, so I'm just a bit confused. Why? And we ended up having this wonderful conversation. I talked about Jesus' calling and words. And I said, well, it's my personal conviction. This is really what churches should be doing. This is part of what they should be doing. And she said, that's so amazing. She said, when you guys were out there serving, it really touched something in my heart, and it made me think maybe there's something to this Christian thing. Could I ask some more questions at another time? I'm like, yes, let's ask lots of questions. Fast forward through 8 months, she came to an Alpha course our church put on, started coming to Sunday services. And there was a lovely couple in our church that befriended her, invited her over, and they led her to faith in Jesus around their kitchen table. Let your light shine before others that they may see your beautiful deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That promise that Jesus made actually comes true, Central Baptist Church. And when you see it in someone's life, it is a beautiful thing. At the same time, Jesus never ever promises that every single person who interacts with the local church is automatically going to do so in a positive way. That's where verses 11 and 12 come in. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Jesus is extremely realistic about what it means to follow him in this world. Not everybody's going to like it. Not everyone's going to appreciate it. That's pretty evident in our secular Canadian culture right now. 50 years ago, the general attitude towards the church was, oh, it's so great that there's churches in our culture. I don't personally go to church, but it's wonderful that churches are there. And then there was a shift. And it said, well, I don't go to church and church isn't my thing, but if that's your thing, if you like that, then you go to church. And fast forward to 2024, and we have shifted again to a deep suspicion, a deep mistrust that the church has anything good to contribute. And I think that Jesus is never pie in the sky, everything's wonderful all the time. I think Jesus is extremely realistic. He is 100% hopeful and optimistic, but he's also realistic. And I realized, you know what? Our culture really is actually reflecting more like first century in the Roman Empire. That our day and age has a lot more to do with what Jesus was experiencing and the early church experienced. So we're hopeful, but we're realistic. Well, as we finish up this morning, do you remember at the very beginning I told you there was a connection between a local church on mission, a kids' park, and a whole bunch of fruit? Well, here's one of the most fulfilling moments that I experienced as a pastor during those years. I never quite lost that dream that someday something would happen in the community and their first response wouldn't be to call local government, other service organizations, it would be to call the local church. And one day, it finally happened. There was an amazing woman in her early 70s, and she purchased a property just north of Ladysmith, a few kilometers. It was a beautiful property, and it used to be an orchard. And so she bought it, and of course, it's got tons of old fruit trees on it. They were badly in need of pruning, but they're still producing. And so the first year she owns, she fixes up the house how she wanted, and then September hit. And she's out in her yard and just utterly amazed at the amount of apples, pears, and plums on these trees. And she realizes that it's so much that she couldn't possibly harvest it all. So she calls up the town of Ladysmith and she said, "Here's who I am. Here's the property I have. It is the biggest load of fruit I've ever seen in my life." She said, "Can you send out town employees to help? Could you guys come out and pick?" She said, "I'll give it all to the town. You can give it to the food bank or whatever you need." And the administrative assistant at the city hall took the call that day and she said, "Oh," she said, "I totally sympathize. I hate throwing anything out. I don't want to see your fruit go to waste." But she said, "All of the town employees we have are so busy on town projects, we can't spare them to come out." And the lady said, "Oh, it's too bad. I'm really disappointed." And then the lady said this, "You know who you should call? Ocean View Community Church. We got a whole bunch of trucks, vans, buckets, ladders. We went out there and just collected a ton of fruit. It was so fun to meet this lady. We ended up pressing a ton of the apples into juice, did so much baking. We were involved in the local elementary school doing their treat day once a month. We used it there. We used it in youth ministry, Sunday school, church picnic, whatever, whatever. About 4 months later, my wife, Lori, called this woman up and she said, "Hi, my name's Lori. We were some of the folks that came out and harvested the fruit. We want to tell you what happened with all of that fruit that you so generously gave." And Lori just walked her through all the ways it had blessed kids and families and the whole community. That woman cried tears of joy on the phone. And I share that, all that Central Baptist Church, because you have been, as a church, doing beautiful deeds for many, many years in many different ways. And my prayer, my application of this sermon is that we would take Jesus' powerful words and powerful declaration, and we would move them from holding them at arm's length, saying, "That's a really good idea. Churches should do that." I want us to move that to becoming a core conviction of our heart, because God is going to use that to guide this church into the future. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your beautiful deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen.
We want to take a moment to thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings in person or online. For more information about who we are and what's happening at the church, visit us online at centralbaptistchurch.ca. Thanks for listening to the Central Baptist Church Victoria podcast.